Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Well, thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I am Monty Larrick. I am joined by Jelaine Appling, who heads the Wisconsin Family Council and Wisconsin Family Action, kind of the Wisconsin versions of Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. Jelaine, you work in a state where Governor Scott Walker actually governs as a conservative Republican. In terms of social issues, fiscal matters, what impact is the Walker administration having on Wisconsin family?
It's having a tremendous impact. Look, Governor Walker came into office in 2011, in January of 2011. He successfully was able to withstand the recall effort and then ran again for re-election in 2014. And over that time span, as we're sitting here, going on 8 years into his administration, we have seen wonderful things happen, really, for the Wisconsin families. Wisconsin families need family-sustaining jobs. And the governor set out to create an atmosphere, not that the government would create the jobs, but so that the regulations would be removed and the obstacles and impediments that stop businesses from growing and actually beginning in Wisconsin were removed, making it so it's more tax-friendly for businesses. And that meant they could hire more people, and that gave our families a better, you know, financial base, a better economic outlook. Look, everything rides, rests, grows, falls on families, whether you're talking about a community, a state, or a nation. And so when those families are prosperous and thriving, and I define it this way, when those families are independent of government, the state is in a good position. And how do families get independent of government? One of the ways is they have family-sustaining jobs. So that has been huge. We've advanced the pro-life cause in Wisconsin during Governor Walker's administration. We've not presented him with any pro-life bill that he has not signed. We have done away with abortions after 20 weeks. We've required an ultrasound before an abortion can happen in the state of Wisconsin. We've stopped telemed abortions. We banned those from our state. We've done a number of smaller things. Amongst those things, and I guess they really aren't small, is we've made big steps towards defunding Planned Parenthood with Wisconsin taxpayer money and within our state's boundaries. Not a perfect job, but we've done a lot towards that. So we've made some incredible progress in those areas.
So you're telling me that the right governor can make a difference in Wisconsin, but the right governor could also make a big difference right here in Illinois.
Well, it's not just the governor, but the right governor can make a difference. I still contend that real change in any community, state, or nation begins bottom up. Governor Walker didn't get elected from the top down. He got elected from the grassroots up. People believed in the message he was giving. That's the same way we got President Trump, quite honestly, that people believed in that message. And so in order for a governor to be successful, he has to be surrounded by a cast of people who help him. At the same time Governor Walker came in, we flipped our state legislature. The Democrats were in control, and as of 2011, the Republicans have been in control of both houses, both our Assembly and our Senate. And so they're giving the governor bills he's willing to sign, and they're willing to pass bills that the governor once signed and enacted into law. So the governors make a difference, but they're not the only party in all of these changes.
Well, you talk about the makeup of the legislature, and in Illinois, if we just had a handful of more votes in the House, we could have stopped House Bill 40, which is taxpayer funding of abortion. So elections do matter.
Elections matter tremendously. You know, I remind people, 2018, this is a big election year. I don't know about Illinois, but in Wisconsin, we have a primary for our spring elections in February. We have the election in April for the general election. And then, we have our fall primaries in August. And one quick example. Everyone should remember what happened in Virginia, where a majority of the Virginia House of Delegates was determined by throwing two names into a hat, so to speak, and one person being designated to draw that name out. And because that vote came down, and this was for the equivalent of what we would call in Wisconsin an assembly seat, and it came down to a dead tie, and they solved the tie. One vote matters. We need to all exercise our right to vote. Do we believe that what we believe is really real, that it's true, that it's right? And do we want that reflected in public policy? I'm told, you know, you can't legislate morality. The reality is every bill that's signed into law, whether it's at state level or the federal level or an ordinance at the county or city level, it's someone's view of what's right and wrong. Who is sitting in the governor's office makes a huge difference about what is viewed as right and wrong, good and bad in the state. And so, as Christians in particular, we need to take it upon ourselves to get informed, get reliable information, and I know that's available through Illinois Family Institute, on these candidates, not just for ourselves. We need to take it upon ourselves to be a committee of one to reach out to at least 10 other people and give them that resource and encourage them to vote as well. We need to exercise our Christian citizenship with a view to stewardship. How do I steward that vote? So it's incredibly important.
You mentioned at a prayer breakfast marking the right for life that marriage, family, and life are one big package. Explain that for us.
That's how God designed it. When he designed Adam and Eve, and when he created Adam and Eve, he created them as husband and wife, and he gave to them this remarkable procreative ability in that union of male and female. And the one instruction that he gave them that they really did do well at was go and be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, fill it up. And Adam and Eve are the first married couple and the first married couple with children that we have in Scripture. I mean, that's the beginning of life. God's plan for human life is that it be conceived within marriage and that human life grow up with the benefits of a married dad and mom. And they are incomparable benefits going throughout life. And what we're as a society reeling from is that we've tried to bifurcate these things. We don't want life associated with marriage and family. We don't like the fact that we say that children should not be born out of wedlock because it's not good for the children. People don't like to hear that message. But if we really care about people, that's the message we give.
State Representative Jeannie Ives, who's running for governor, has been criticized because she says that, you know, the problems with guns and violence in Chicago can be attributed to a lack of the father in the home. Is she right?
I think so. You know, we have an epidemic of fatherlessness in this country. In every major city, Chicago is a great example, and probably every other major city in Illinois, certainly in Wisconsin, it's a fatherless epidemic. And if you want to know what it looks like, you pick up the front page of your paper on any given Sunday morning, or read the headlines online from the newspaper on Sunday morning. Because what you see are killings and riots and mayhem in general. And what it boils down to is we have generational, it's important to understand that, generational fatherlessness. It's now not just one generation in our inner city communities that are experiencing fatherlessness. This is like the second generation and maybe even the third generation. And it has so fractured that family unit. It's just blown it to smithereens. And so you have all these young people who are running around with no idea at all of what a father looks like. They don't even know who their father is, unless they did a DNA test and were able to get that person named. It will affect our criminal justice system. It will affect our ability as a state, be it Illinois, Wisconsin, or any other state, to pay for the fallout from all of that through our welfare programs, through just the social cost of that. So it's huge. I tend to agree with her. What boys in particular need is a father to set rules, to set boundaries, to show by model and example, what does a real man look like? How does a real man act? How does he treat other people? How does he treat women? That's what we're crying for in our society.
Well, how do we get to that point where a mom and a dad in the home is the norm again?
It's a simple answer in one sense. It's a commitment. In another sense, it's very, very complex because it's a restructuring of what we believe in our society. Because for so long, we've given money to people to have babies without marrying the father of their children. We've incentivized bad behavior that hurts people. And that's an important concept. It hurts people. And so what we need to do, I think, is get back to a commitment at a very basic level, and that is at a family level. The hope of our nation is in our families, our married dad and mom natural families who are bringing up the next generation to understand that life is sacred, that we protect human life from the moment of conception through natural death, that about how we treat people, about why marriage is important and why marriage is good. We can do that, but it's going to be one family at a time. Now, public policy can help. we can start backing away from laws that feed the wrong behavior, because we're giving money to people to have children out of wedlock, multiple children. We can encourage people to go to work. One thing we know is women don't like to marry men who don't have jobs. And that's one reason Governor Walker has started requiring that in order to qualify for some of our welfare benefits, that you have to be actively working, looking for work, or working. So because we want to make sure that the men are employed so they become more eligible in the minds of women to marry if they're going to have their children. So there's some things we can do at every level.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight, joined by Jelaine Appling with Wisconsin Family Council. We'll continue our conversation after this.
Have you ever noticed how many churches sit empty throughout the week? And if our children are spending most of their week in school with no godly influence, what kind of influence are they getting? Well, Freedom Project Academy wants to change that, and it's a simple concept. Partner with churches across the country to provide fully accredited, biblically based online classes that allow every church that sits empty Monday through Friday to start their own school. Freedom Project Academy is a Christ-centered, government-free online school. FPA provides more than 100 live courses. Schools can select the classes they want to use while providing their own courses for Bible study, music, art, and anything else they choose. So here is the real question. How big is your God? Let's fill up our churches all week long. Visit Freedom Project Academy, because together we can faithfully educate America.
Thanks again for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by Jelaine Appling with the Wisconsin Family Council. How can people connect with Wisconsin Family Council?
Easiest way, Monty, is to get us online at wifamilycouncil.org or wifamilyaction.org. You can follow us on Facebook, WI Family Action, or on Twitter. Join us on social media.
There we go. All right. Jelaine, I've noticed that Governor Walker is launching a campaign to attract workers from other states, including Illinois, to Wisconsin. Can part of that worker shortage be attributed, at least in part, to abortion?
Oh, I think it's a huge part. I think abortion and contraception have played a huge role in the diminishing of populations, across, not just in Wisconsin, but across this country. Okay, the replacement rate for birth rate is 2.1 babies per woman, just to keep a population even. Wisconsin's been at 1.9 or lower, right in 1.8, 1.9, for over 40 years. That has caught up with us, because think about how old those kids would be if they were born in 1973. They'd be 45, and that means they're in prime work years. Look, all over our state, in fact, I heard at a public hearing recently in Madison, a representative from the Wisconsin Association of School Boards say we have 62% of Wisconsin school districts with declining enrollments. Declining enrollments. A lot of it is we just haven't had the babies. We have a worker shortage because we haven't had the babies. And you put that together with people who are choosing to leave the state for one reason or another, and we've had more people leaving than coming in since 2006, then we have a worker shortage. And yes, it can be. Look, Wisconsin has aborted over almost 530,000 babies since 1974. That is basically the population of Milwaukee.
Well, in Wisconsin, the number of abortions are actually on the decline. You're actually closing abortion clinics. How's that happen?
Well, it happens because of the work of pro-life groups, but not just pro-life groups. Don't you find it wonderful that the statistics are showing the next younger generations are more pro-life than the older generations? That's an incredible encouragement to me. And so families have been talking about life in the right way to their children. Churches have been talking about that. Pro-life efforts have happened. We've passed, in every state basically, we've passed good laws that restrict appropriately, legally restrict abortion. And so we're making it so that women are protected and know more about what abortion is and some of the things that can happen and will happen during an abortion and could happen after. But we've also, on the cultural side, we've started promoting the good, the dignity, the worth of every single citizen. And so the result of that is we're beginning to see people make the choice to keep their baby. With one caveat, I am concerned that amongst teenagers and up until like 25, that we are seeing fewer babies born to these women out of wedlock, but we aren't seeing a reduction in their sexual activity. That's alarming to me because engaging in sexual activity outside of marriage has real risk. It's very real risk, and it could bring lifetime of consequences.
Is there like an uptick in that kind of activity, even among kids who've grown up in Christian homes and conservative homes?
Well, there could be. I don't know that we've parsed it that way. Maybe George Barna's done some research to show how that is. But I know that some of the numbers coming out of Wisconsin show that the kids are engaging in sexual activity before they're married in those late teen years and early 20s. And it's a bad omen. I don't want them to get pregnant and have an abortion. That's compounding one problem with another, for sure. But the best answer for them, Monty, is reserve sexual activity until you are married. It's a safeguard. It's not a punishment. It's a safeguard. It can be a blessing, not a curse.
Julaine, as you know, Illinois now has a law that forces taxpayers to fund elective abortions on demand. But part of the law that Governor Rauner signed also includes wording that codifies Roe versus Wade into law. I'm wondering if you think that that will lead to Illinois becoming a sanctuary state for abortion. Do you see a lot of Wisconsin women, young girls, coming to Illinois for their abortions?
Well, it's certainly the door is opened for that, especially along the border, you know, on our border cities. And I hope not. You know where my hope is, Monty, in so much of this, and they certainly should be mentioned as a part of the reason we see abortion numbers going, and that's our pregnancy resource centers. We have a number of them on that border down with you folks here in Illinois, and I would hope that they would stop and talk with those folks, learn the truth about what abortion is. I would hope that there would be people in their lives who would caution them about what they're thinking about doing, and that they wouldn't cross that state line seeking an abortion. That would be my sincere hope. Will Planned Parenthood be complicit in encouraging them to do that? Probably, sadly. And so I'm looking to our on-the-ground troops, to our pregnancy resource centers, and our churches to be one of the stop gaps, I hope, in young women not crossing that line to get an abortion in Illinois.
Well, one of the concerns we also have here in Illinois is a new effort, a new push for the Equal Rights Amendment, ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. And the fear is, among pro-life folks, is that ultimately the goal here is to lift all restrictions on abortion. What's your message for Illinois lawmakers about this?
Well, it's a dangerous path. Now, in Wisconsin right now, we have Republicans in majorities in both the Senate and the Assembly, and of course, we have Governor Walker in the governor's office. However, in this election coming up in November, we have all of our state assembly up and half of our state Senate and the governor. And so if the Democrats and liberals and progressives are able to take a majority somewhere in there or take the governor's office, I'll guarantee you we'll see a shift. There have been bills introduced this session with these huge Republican majorities doing just exactly what you said, looking to remove every single restriction we have ever put on abortion. That does not bode well for women. It certainly does not bode well for the babies. It's not going to do with Illinois any favors. You know, it's going to put Illinois. I've got to believe, and I haven't looked strictly at your numbers, but I've got to believe that your population issues are catching up with you. This will make your population issues even worse. Your workforce, your school districts, and trying to put students in chairs and tax base and all the rest of it.
Closing schools in Chicago because of declining enrollment.
Yeah. Well, it's there. Now, people, oh, they're moving out. You know, they don't want to be in downtown Chicago. Well, maybe there's some truth to that. But when you look at the numbers statewide and you start looking at, you see that it's real decline. You know, it's interesting in Wisconsin, in the community where I live, we have actually had a significant immigration of Hispanics have moved there because we have a canning industry, food canning industry nearby, and that's something they can be employed in. And what we've seen, in spite of that influx of our Hispanic friends, we have still seen a decline in enrollment. That is, to some degree, directly related to abortion and contraception. And again, I want to point out, it's also people making choices to move to states where they think that it's even better than Wisconsin. But by the way, most people from Wisconsin are moving to Florida and Texas for two reasons. Number one, climate, which we can't compete with. But number two, because neither one has an income tax. And I'm guessing that people leaving Illinois would be going to similar places for the same reasons.
And we raised our income tax.
Yes.
So let me just wrap up with this. Wisconsin now has a Choose Life license plate. It's the messaging and also the fundraising that will come out of this.
I'm so excited about the plate. I love the look of it. It's got the baby's footprint from like a birth certificate on the left-hand side of the plate. And underneath it in bright red letters, it says Choose Life. It's classic Wisconsin colors, black, red, and white. It's just a beautiful plate. And it allows us to take a very tasteful pro-life message everywhere we go, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country. And then it turns around and gives $25 per year per license plate to Choose Life Wisconsin, who then turns around and funds our Wisconsin Pregnancy Resource Centers. And by the way, the way our program is designed is if there are pregnancy resource centers on the border of Illinois and Wisconsin, and they're close to one of our major metropolitan areas like Janesville or something like that, or Beloit, I believe they also qualify to get grants from Choose Life Wisconsin because so many people go back and forth, you know, across those lines. So this has been an awesome venture. We just got it in October of 2017, so it's brand new. The state is telling me we're doing very well on our sales, and I'm excited. I'm looking forward to writing those first checks to those pregnancy resource centers.
You sound excited, and rightfully so. Well, I wish we could have a Choose Life license plate in Illinois. Maybe with a new governor, we will. So, Julaine, once again, how can people connect with you?
Visit us online at WI Family Council, council.org, or wifamilyaction.org, or check us out on all the social media, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest. I think we're on all of those.
All right. Julaine Appling with Wisconsin Family Council, thank you so much. God bless you and your work.
Thank you. Likewise, I appreciate the work of Illinois Family Institute, Monty.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.